Now, why am I linking it to this communion? This is why I am linking it to the communion. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Can we read it? Listen very well. Listen very well. For the law is talking about Old Testament, having a shadow of good things to come. Evidence of an image is the shadow, correct? Correct? The image is Christ and His church. The shadow is the Old Testament laws and ordinances. And not the very image of the things. It is only a shadow, the law. He said, that can never, with those sacrifices that they were making, which they offered year by year, continually, what is he saying? It can never make the commerce thereunto perfect. And yet we are supposed to be perfect. He said, for would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, if that thing was perfecting them, the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. And verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. And verse 4, this is the reason. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. For it is not possible. It is not possible for the blood of an animal to take away sins. Let's go to the next verse 5. It says, Wherefore when he cometh into the world, who is it that came into the world? Who is it that came into the world? No, it's not Jesus. Who is it that came into the world? Somebody is answering me there. Who came into the world? Give me a microphone.
God the Father.
God the Father. Oh, God the Father. He's the one that came into the world. Hey, Hebrews chapter 2. Before I come to Hebrews chapter 10, we continue from verse 5. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Who is he that came? You say it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand something before you say, is that man that was hanging on the cross on Calvary? Verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. He said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. That's why you are correct. God the Father. The Father has children. We are the children. We are flesh and blood. But our Father is a spirit. He's not flesh and blood. Understand what he's saying? For as much then as we, the children, are partakers of flesh and blood, he, the Father, also himself, likewise, took part of the same flesh and blood. When did he do it? When did he do it? Go to Hebrews chapter 10 again, verse 5. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Listen very well. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world in flesh and blood, he said, sacrifice and offering you willest not. No need for sacrifices. No need for all the offerings. But what? But what? A body hast thou prepared me. Where did he prepare that body for himself? On the womb, in the womb of a virgin woman. Who is Jesus? Hallelujah. Who is Jesus? He is the body that the great eternal spirit created for himself so that he can come and dwell in that body. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. that came here to do something. On this rock I build my church. So that you will understand verse 53 of John chapter 6. Can we read it? Hallelujah. Verse 56. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Let's read on. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Listen, and you can read it on and on. What does it mean to eat the flesh? Is this the flesh? So when you take this bread, you eat, you are eating Jesus, Abby. Are we cannibals? Are we cannibals? Are we cannibals? When you drink this one, you are drinking the blood of Jesus, Abby. What he's saying to eat is to understand this body of Jesus Christ that hang on the cross. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? John said he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The angel of God prophesied, for he shall save his people from their sin. That is, he is the Savior. What is salvation? As I was saying, salvation is a situation, a condition where something is totally beyond redemption and you save it and you bring it back to life again. It's called salvation. What is redemption? What is redeem? What is it? What do you mean by redeem? Redeem is first and foremost, that thing belonged to you first. Originally it belonged to you, but for one reason or the other, you lost it. The process of bringing it back to yourself is called redeem. Redeem. It is a wrong terminology when you make a vow and you use the language, I have come to redeem my vow. It's a wrong English. It's a wrong English. I have come to redeem my vow. You have not come to redeem your vow. You have come to fulfill your vow. You are fulfilling your vow. To redeem a vow, I think it's Leviticus 23. Redeem is, you have a goat. You have a goat for your tithe. It is only tithe that you redeem like that. You have a goat, but you want to keep it. Maybe because it is a very fruitful, or for any reason, you need that goat. The law says, you will look for the value of that goat in the market. Then, if it costs 100 naira, then, or 1,000 naira, whatever it is, then he say you will add a fifth part of it is 20%. You will add 20% to that cost, and then you can now redeem it. You pay it, and then you have it back to yourself. It is originally yours to have it back. You are giving it up for any reason, but you need it back to yourself. The process of bringing it back to yourself is called redeem. And that is what these false preachers hijack and say, if you are owing God tithe, that you will add 20% to it and pay. It's a lie. There is nothing like that. To redeem is to buy it back. It was already your own, but you have to give it according to the law. To have it back, you find the market value and then you add something on top. And the process of redemption, there is the law of redemption, and that law, only Christ fulfilled it. First and foremost, you must be free before you can redeem somebody that is in bondage. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen very well. And no man was qualified to save man. So God himself had to step down and bypass the curse that was upon man. That is who Jesus is. Jesus is the presence of the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that stepped down from eternity to time to look for his own. And when he got them, the process of bringing them to himself, you must pay a price. And that price that he paid is the price for our redemption. And in Hebrews chapter 1, where I was trying to read, tells us that we are purchased possession of God. He purchased us. Our redemption is by the purchase of the blood. The price for our redemption is the blood. When you understand that your redemption has been fully paid, then you will understand why he said it is finished. But see something here. Praise God. Hallelujah. And where we read, he said it is impossible for the blood of an animal, in Hebrews chapter 10, hallelujah, to affect the conscience of a believer. Always remember, your salvation begins with the change of your heart. The first place God works on is your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, that is what you live your life. That's what you live your life. A stony heart that we acquired on this earth, he breaks it down first. The Bible says so. And changes it to a heart of flesh. So that you can receive something there and reason with him. Then, hallelujah, it gives you a new spirit. It's not yet the Holy Ghost. That is it. That is, it changes your taste, your interest. The interest you used to have for worldly music, worldly things, worldly film, worldly everything, everything worldly, you are 100% there. If a comedian was here now jesting, you will not be asleep. Because your spirit is a spirit of entertainment. But when you change that spirit and gives you a new spirit, then the third thing he does, he comes and put his own spirit in you and causes you to live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the difference between law and grace. That is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when you commit sin, you take a sacrificial lamb. That lamb, you take it and they do it once in a year according to the law. And it is for atonement of your sin. You deserve to die. But instead of you to die, God made provision and gave us a lamb. Bring the lamb before the high priest and it is slaughtered. He didn't commit any sin. You are the one that committed the sin. But judgment is lifted from you. The guilt is put on that lamb. And as he's struggling to die, the blood is touching you. You place your hand there. And your sins are atoned. Then you live. What Apostle Paul is saying is that, but although that animal died, your sins are atoned, there is nothing that has affected your conscience. So you continue in your sin. That is why you will come back again next year and confess the sin. The Catholic religion has nothing to affect your conscience. That is why every Wednesday you go for confession. Father, I have sinned again. I have committed adultery. I stole my master's money. I am a homosexual. I want God to deliver me. Your sins be forgiven. Amen. That thing that the Reverend Father did, he cannot affect your conscience. There is only one mediator between God and man. Who is he? Who is he? He settled it on the cross. He became the Lamb of God This Lamb of God,
Leviticus chapter 17 tells us that why he forbade them from drinking, eating blood was because the life of the flesh is in the blood.
There is a life in that animal. But that life there, when it comes to the unbeliever, the sinner, it cannot affect him. But there is the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. If the religions of the world, making all effort to go to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, we know that outside of Jesus, you can never see God. Then they will understand why we are celebrating Easter now. What is the significance of the Passover? The unbelievers call it Easter, but it is actually the Passover period. Praise the Lord. It's a period where the matter of our salvation was settled. To me, this is the period to celebrate more than any other celebration, more than Christmas. Christmas is another fallacy. Listen, the day you understand, eat my flesh, drink my blood, understand why I offered my body on the cross. The day any sinner catches it, your approach to the things of the gospel will change. The problem we have is lack of understanding of what he did on the cross. The day you understand the suffering that he suffered on the cross and see that he did it not for himself. He did it and there is a benefit. He was paying a price and opening the door. Oh, the Bible tells us, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. If a body, you have prepared a body. People don't understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the temple of Solomon was being dedicated, hallelujah, the glory of God came down. The glory, they saw it visibly. It was there. But under the blood of animal, you cannot go to the presence of only a high priest who also makes sacrificial atonement for himself and then apply the blood, sprinkle the blood on himself. Only he was allowed to go where God's presence was, where the Shekinah glory of God was. Only the high priest. Even to enter there, he must take time. So his dress is capped with a rope. If you don't hear him making noise, the bell around his neck, his waist, he's not doing gling-gling-gling as he's offering sacrifices on our behalf, then you know he don't die. The angel don't strike him. You cannot open that curtain and enter. You enter there, you die. You have to use that rope and drag him out. Hallelujah. Because the Shekinah glory is there. Ezekiel saw when that glory departed through the eastern gates. And shortly after, Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed that temple. And that glory that left never came back again. Until in Matthew chapter 3, as he came to John the Baptist to be baptized. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord that came down is the same Spirit that came in Solomon's temple that departed. He came back into another building, another body. Oh, glory be to God. And God was announcing to the whole world, if you are looking for where I am, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the body that tabernacled God. He was carrying God. Apostle Paul said, he, Jesus, received not the Spirit by measure. He, Jesus, he said the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him bodily. And as he goes, Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus became the second temple of God after Solomon's temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus became the second temple, destroyed this temple, and in 3 days, let me demonstrate it for you. He said, hallelujah, as that Roman soldier took his spear and tore the flesh of Jesus, he didn't know what he was doing. He was tearing the veil that covered the glory of God. That veil that covered the glory of glories, the holy of holies. That veil, when Jesus Christ said it is finished, he gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. The Bible says that veil in the temple tore from up, down. That secret place that nobody could go. Now, everyone can go. Gentiles can go. Jews can go. Prostitutes can go. Murderers can go. Everybody can go. Everybody now. Everybody. Come. Come to me. Come. Come. Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus is the way to the throne of mercy. And he said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy in the time of need. And now is that time for mercy. You miss it, you are gone forever. You miss it, you are gone forever. That ghost, hallelujah, that was released, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. The ghost left and went. When did he come back? He came back on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. He came back on the day of Pentecost. And from that day till now, he has not yet left. Hallelujah. He's still with us now. Hallelujah. He's still with us, even now. Even now. That upper room experience, somebody here, you can have it. It's the same glory of God that departed Solomon's temple, that departed the body of Jesus Christ, that has come on the day of Pentecost. And that's why we are called the temple of the Holy Ghost, because he dwells in us now. What is he doing with us? He is sealing us until the day of redemption. What is the Holy Ghost? It is a seal. When you receive the Holy Ghost, once saved, forever saved. You are sealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are sealed away from sin. You are sealed away from anything at all, the works of the flesh. If a man be in Christ, a new creature. You become ambassadors for Christ. When they see you, they see Christ. The authority he had, he has given it to us. And he is the hope of glory. What is the assurance that you are going in the rapture? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. What is the confidence that you have that you will resurrect? He said, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ dwell in you, he will quicken you also. By the same spirit that dwell in you. That same Holy Ghost that resurrected him. If you have the Holy Ghost, grave could not hold him captive. Grave will not hold us captive. Hallelujah. We do, we can sing. In the resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How do I know that I am a Christian? How do you know? What's the name of your father? What's the name of your father?
Ajibade.
Ajibade?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Ajibade?
Yes, sir.
Is that your surname?
Yes, sir.
What's your own name?
Victor.
Victor?
Yes.
Victor?
Yes, sir.
You are Victor Ajibade?
Yes, sir.
Your sister's name is who?
My sister's
name. Your brother's name is who?
Ajibade.
Your brother. You don't know your brother's name.
Okay, Felix
Ajibade. Answer me. I ask you a question. You think
Felix Ajibade.
Eh?
Felix Ajibade.
Your sister's name?
Esther Ajibade.
Felix Ajibade.
Yes.
Esther Ajibade.
Yeah.
Ajibade, Ajibade, Ajibade.
Yes.
What makes you, why do you bear the name Ajibade?
Because I was born into that family.
You, that is your father.
Yes.
You are born into that. How, what is the evidence that you are in that family? You are part of that family.
I'm bearing that name.
Eh?
I'm bearing that name.
So anybody that can change his name and bear your father's name.
No, because I was born into that
you
family.
You are born. You are born into it. And what is the evidence that you are born into it? What is the evidence? The DNA. Your father's blood must be in you. Anybody doubt it? Let them take your blood for sample. They will know that you are the son. And anybody else that come and say, I am Ajibade, and you don't know him, and you want to confirm, how will you confirm? You will not go to any history book. Go and test the DNA. And the Bible in Romans chapter 8 verse 9, he said, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of his. You are a Christian because the spirit of Christ dwells in you. How will I know that you have the spirit of Christ in you? Is he speaking in tongues? Is he casting out devils? Is he preaching as I am preaching? How will I know? By their fruits. A tree is known by her fruit, not the leaf. It's not the leaf that we say this is mango. The leaf can look like a mango, but it may be guava. But the fruit, mango na mango, guava na guava. A tree is known by her fruit. For you to say confidently, this is a mango tree, it is the fruit you look at. It is not the gift you look at. If a man be in Christ, hallelujah, we put on Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus said, if you see me, you see my Father. Every Christian, if you see me, you see Jesus. If you have the devil, gain is of that wicked one. So he will display wickedness. Because he must prove who his Father is. You are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. And his works you will do. Jesus told them so. If you are the father of Abraham's children, then why are you seeking to kill me because I tell you the truth? Your father, hallelujah, saw my day and he rejoiced. But you see me, you want to kill me. When did my father see you're only 50 years? You are saying Abraham saw my day. You're only 50 years. They didn't know it was the creator of the heavens and the earth that was talking. They didn't know that he revealed himself to Abraham, like as Melchizedek. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They didn't know who Abraham met that gave him that type of faith. And you say, you are a Christian, and you are still full of all carnalities around you. You say you are a Christian, and you are still committing all the nonsense that is done in the world, and your conscience doesn't disturb you. It's because your conscience is seared with a hot iron according to the Bible. There is a conscience we have when you receive the Holy Ghost. Because the life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ is eternal life. When it comes upon you, that is why, hallelujah, salvation is only once. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Why? Because the conscience of sin is no more there. He said, he that is born of God does not commit sin. What it means is, you have no pleasure in sin. There's something in you that just does not like, have pleasure anymore. When you fall, you run away immediately and clean up yourself. And what do you use? He said, the reason you cannot commit sin is because his seed remained in you. And what is that seed? We are born again by the incorruptible seed of his word. Peter says so. And if you got born again, not according to the will of man, I have seen those. You want to give your life to Christ? Come. Then they go around and they push yourself. Come now. Go. 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 One, two, three. They run, they come. They run, they come. Where they go? I won't go born again. Amen. Hallelujah. No. The first thing, the process of salvation, it will hit you. And the first thing is, you will be convinced in your heart. You will be convinced that truly, the life I live is not good. It cannot take me to heaven. I will end up in hell. When you are convinced, then you get convicted. When you are convicted that true, the estate I am, I deserve to go to hell. Then you can ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Then you get concerned about your life. It is that concern that makes you come to the altar, where you will find solution, where you will find the rest, where the matter will be settled. If you come in that estate, you will not come to the altar more than once in your life. You cannot come give your life to Christ today, then you go back, you continue. You come again, give your life to Christ. You come again. You came, but you did not wait for that life to strike you. When the life that is in the Lamb of God comes inside of you, it does a work of regeneration. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Your test changes. You may be struggling with a weakness, but you know you have no pleasure anymore in it. You'll be crying to God, Lord, I don't like this thing I am doing. Help me, O God. You will cry, you won't give rest for it. You can't feel free. You defile this body, you have no rest. You cry every time for God to have mercy on you. You will be so condemned. That is the difference between you and any other person that has not found Christ. The one that has not found Christ, he will justify it. There used to be a minister that is here. That the girl that he was sleeping with was confessing. That you told her in the hotel room in Lodja. He said, look, you see this anointing. Whatever I do, see, it has nothing to do with the anointing. And the dead on top of her, they give her revelation. So the girl was confused. He said, you see this thing I'm doing, everybody is doing, even Pastor Moses is doing it. Even Pastor Moses, he has girlfriends, he has everywhere. But once we hold microphone, you know, it has nothing to do with this. So don't ask me, I am a prophet. I'm a prophet. That is a serpent seed talking. No conscience. Then he will leave the hotel with that girl and come to our program. The girl is sitting down there. And then he's saying he's a mandate. And then he's making discernment. Is it not a mystery? It's a mystery. That is why Jesus Christ called the anointed ones at the end time. It's a mystery. But we have explained where they are, their source and their origin. Praise the Lord. The first thing, there are two things that God does in the life of everyone that is saved. The first thing he does is he makes you love Christ Jesus. It makes you love Christ Jesus. And you cannot want to hurt anybody you love. And how will you love him? Is when you consider what he did to save you. That man of Calvary has won my heart from me. He died to set me free. That man of Calvary, hallelujah. That man of
of Calvary
has won my heart
from me.
Hallelujah.
He died to set me free. Bless my of Calvary.
The second thing he does, he will do something that will make you fear him. He demonstrates his love. Everything you do, there is a just recompense of reward. If you love him, he will also show you his love. Before you pray, he will answer you. Even without praying, he will stand for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next thing he does, he lets you know that the relationship you have with him is a father-child relationship. And whom he loves, what does he do? As our earthly fathers chasten us. Eh? Are you married? You are married. Eh? You are married, Abby? How many children?
One.
Yes. One child.
Female.
Eh?
Female child.
Whether male or female, child or child. Mm-hmm. Even female better pass male self. Because a female child is an investment. Especially if you are from Igbo land. Make money with it. Give you page one, page two, page three lists when they are coming. Anybody coming for my daughter, get ready. Lists. Page one, page two, page three, page four. You must buy me a Jeep. Buy my wife a Jeep. Then you bring 3 boxes of Hollandaise for my wife. It's list, they're not the list. Now list. Is that up to the amount I spent training her? Okay, now you pay back all. I will give you all the receipts for her school fees. Because she's going to change my name to your name. All the efforts. Train her to any level. Now you go call, you go say, who are you? I am Mrs. Okoro. Not Alu again. So all the school fees where I pay, I'm keeping all the receipts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you have neighbors? If your neighbor picking commit anything, you dey beat him.
I talk to the baby.
You talk to who?
To the baby.
To the neighbor.
To the baby. I warn the baby. Yes, not to the
your neighbor. Your neighbor.
Yes.
Your neighbor's child.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
If he commit anything,
I warn him and make him know that thing is bad.
You warn him. That's a very good neighbor. Mm. But can you go beyond advising the person? Can you beat your neighbor's child?
No.
Can you cane your neighbor's child?
No, sir.
But you can cane your child?
Yes, sir.
You can beat your child?
Yes, sir.
Why can't you cane that one? You are caning this your own.
Because it's not directly my child.
Yeah, it's not directly with you for your. It's not directly your son. Now. That is it. If you see yourself living in sin, and nothing wrong is happening to you, it is because you have no relationship with God. It's a mystery, that is the truth. For whom he loves, he chastens. Try it, every true child of God. And live anyhow life. See how he will descend on you. He will so do it, by the time you recover. Next time when you see anything, you go wrong, when you remember what he do you before. That is what makes us fear him. That is what makes us fear him. Me like this. Then I will go and sleep with a woman that is not my wife. Me sleep like that. When I already know what will happen to me. And when you have trouble with God, who will deliver you? You see why your business is closed, some of you. Genuine children of God. Open shop for you. You carry woman, sleep inside that shop. No be devil go close them. God himself will close it. He will close it. Pay your tithe. You will not pay your tithe. But you are packing money and giving one prostitute you are sleeping with. And you expect that you will prosper. You can never prosper in iniquity. Watch it. And sometimes God is so patient. You are his child. And you are doing all the nonsense. He's going to look you. He's going to look you. And it'll be like, say, God will not see you. He's waiting for your cup to full. Then, when he will descend on you, then you will now know that there is an all-seeing eye watching you. Watching you. Watching you. Every day, mind upon you, pursue. Watching you. Watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Some people don't believe that God is omniscient and omnipresent. Some people don't believe it. So they fear, let pastor not see me. Let pastor not hear. The pastor didn't know. But God was there. And they watch you. He's watching you. You know what I'm saying? It's not to condemn you. It's so that you will stop taking God for granted. I just want you to repent. That's all. You are alive, so it's a second chance. What God wants from us is repentance. I am not condemning you. I am not. I want you to take your eternal destination more seriously than some of us do. If you have received the Holy Ghost, you have come into the family. You now relate with God as a father, as a daughter, as a son. You can't act like other people. Stop comparing yourself with your friends. Stop copying their lifestyle. Live a life that they will want to copy your own. But always take note, they will never copy you, they will be attacking you. Anytime they see you, they feel too condemned, they will be attacking you. You have a higher spirit that should influence your environment. Don't allow the environment to influence you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You either follow me and live my lifestyle, or you will distance yourself from me. And it's not enough because you worship in the same church with me. Therefore, I will be close to you. In my association with you, it's not adding value to my spiritual life. I cut off from you. Anytime you visit me, in what estate do you leave me? And you say, you are my brother, you are my sister. You come to my house to spend weekend. What did you leave me? What did I gain by your visit spiritually? Anytime I visit you, what do we do? Gossip. Anytime you sit down, you are gossiping. You are wasting virtue. Reserve that virtue. Power is leaving you. That's why when problem come, there is no more power. You become a toothless bulldog. I didn't say when you come together every time in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. No, I am saying those negative things, stop it. We can laugh. We can joke. We can crack jokes. Laugh. Joy. Do things that give us joy. But let it not be to the detriment of our spiritual progress. And one of the things that go detrimental to our spiritual progress is called the works of the flesh. Carnality. Especially when it has to do with nothing but gossiping, planning evil. Some people's heart, I have told you this before, it's a very serious matter, that you claim to be a Christian, and when you see somebody else having something you don't have, you get jealous. It's a demon inside of you. That's not the spirit of Christ. That's not the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ rejoices, brother, if they suddenly make your brother, same father with you, give him the position of a minister. Would you be happy that a member of your family is there? Would you be happy?
I'll be happy, sir.
If you get jealous, something is wrong with you. You are a witch. It's a spirit of witchcraft. The spirit of witchcraft hates anybody progressing around them. There are witches in the church. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have said it before. Amen. Hallelujah. See, how to attract good things to you is to admire it and desire it and encourage it. It will locate you and come to you. If you see a young girl, your friend, marry the type of man you desire, you identify, you attend the wedding, you give gifts. You go there. Is there anything I can do to help you? Where you are, Shebi, bring her. I will just do something, you know, to identify. Hey, I beg, pray for me. Make I get this kind of man. When you do that, amen, that same grace will follow you. But when you see them, and you begin to say, see them. You know how they live before they come dance for altar now. Baby, I know. When they don't sleep with themselves, tired. Even self, I know as you take care of that man. Even self, as you do like that. Amen. You don't know that you are positioning yourself in an island. The kind of people that will come to you will be the opposite of that one. When people come to church, they don't even know how to relate with one another. And that is the fallout of it. I keep emphasizing this. Deliverance is sure, but you must maintain it by the life that you live. It will attract good or attract evil. So give and it shall be given to you. As you would that men should do to you, do it to others. You are happy when somebody is sad, when somebody is crying. If you see me do anything, it is a mistake and not willingly. And once I realize it, I repent. But to sit down here for any reason, when I know the Bible says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Why will I want to pick a curse upon myself? You will never prosper when you walk against the prosperity of another person. Show me any witch you know in the village or in the town that is ever prospering. Show me any witch. They have no peace. They have no peace. Their heart is sick. Because every time they are not happy because somebody is prospering around. And they come to church. Why do you come to church if you don't want your life to change? Why are you not submitting yourself for God to change you? Why are you not happy when your brother is prospering? Are you a brother or an enemy? If I've said anything that concerns you, then take it seriously. I may sound very, very rude, very, very harsh. I may sound one kind. But let me tell you, I'm saying it for your good. Because after this program, somebody, your Christian life will change for good. For that is my heart desire. That blood can never lose its power. That blood can never lose its power. Thank you, Father.